the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Sundays of summer and the weeks after Pentecost are the season when we read the series of Jesus' parables and minor miracles that may be less memorable but make up the bulk of the Gospels. They might not be the highlights of his life, but they are what the ministry of Jesus was primarily about: engaging normal people in conversation about faith to teach them how to live, and setting the world aright in small but still meaningful ways for people's everyday existence. The series of readings over these last few weeks have contained notable and memorable questions. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbor? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And the one asked by the demoniac in Capernaum, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? These are a series of questions that still have deep meaning today as we discuss and wrestle with how to treat our neighbors and who counts as such. Whose responsibility is the work that needs to be done, and is everybody doing their fair share? What is our ultimate reward, and what does Jesus have to do with the various aspects of our mundane lives? And then we get today's episode, the parable of the rich young fool. A man comes to Jesus to ask him to settle a dispute with his brother over inheritance. He apparently thinks his brother has gotten an unfairly large portion of the family's wealth. Interestingly, from Jesus' response, we seem to be able to surmise that this man is still quite wealthy, just not quite as rich as his brother. So Jesus tells them this story of a man who continued to accumulate wealth and find more ways to store it, to count it, to lord it over others, only to die before he could enjoy it. He says that this is the way for everyone who stores up earthly wealth, but is, quote, not rich toward God. The passage ends there. But in the tradition of these important questions asked to Jesus, I can just hear this young man saying, but if life is not about the accumulation of possessions, then what is it all about? That also is a question that is still being asked today, and one that religion has to address if we are to stem the tide of the outflow of people from churches in search of meaning somewhere else. For a long time, the accumulation of greater wealth has been the unquestioned answer to so many things. Why do you spend so many hours of your life doing that? Why do we as a society value this thing over that thing? How do you measure the success of a lifespan? The storing up of wealth was an answer, just like for the young man in the parable. He says, if I store up enough, then I will be able to relax and enjoy life. But the moment never comes, his life gets cut short, and there was never such a thing as enough when the goal was to accumulate more. I've heard so many people question that value system over the last few years. People reaching retirement who bemoan the milestones and years of their children's lives they've missed in a quest for more and vowing to do better with their grandchildren. Middle-aged people in the prime of their careers and earning years, accomplishing much and owning more, and still not feeling the fulfillment they thought it would bring. Young people, having experienced firsthand what this mentality does to families, communities, cultures, and giving up on the whole system of values that they have found to be wanting. But giving up on that system without finding another faith just leaves you rudderless. Before we moved here, I lived in Darien, Connecticut. It's one of the wealthiest zip codes in the country. I always used to joke that it was where Wall Streeters moved when they had kids. But the truth is, it wasn't really so much of a joke as a real description. Almost all new houses were sold to people in their early 30s, about to have a child, moving out from New York City. The church had a well-regarded nursery school for 2 to 5-year-olds, and it was pretty normal for us to get calls from people in the city who were about 3 months pregnant, saying they were planning to move out when the baby was born, and they'd like to be put on the waiting list for our 2-year-old class, because getting into the right preschool was the first step to getting into the right college, being hired at the right job, and making it, whatever that would mean. I'd never been around people who had more wealth or less peace. They were anxious, because how could you ever know if it was enough? And universally, their children would tell me that they weren't sure what they wanted to be when they grew up, but they knew they didn't want to do what their parents did because they didn't believe in the lifestyle it required or the results they saw. It's easy to recognize greed and lack of contentment in other people, to demonize it even, but it's hard to question our own value systems. How often do we, like the man asking Jesus this question, think it's unfair that someone else we know has more than us, or believe that if we could just hit some magic amount of savings, then we could relax and enjoy life? Or tear down what we have in life and upend things we have built with the sole goal of being able to have yet more. In our society, most people are the rich young fool, and Jesus is uncomfortably pointing it out. And we, like him, too often find ourselves afraid to ask the all-important follow-up question. If it's not about the accumulation of wealth, what is the real meaning of our lives? Jesus uses the phrase, being rich towards God. I'll be honest, it's odd wording, and I'm not completely sure what Jesus means by those words. However, it's worth speculating about, wondering, meditating on, and praying about. I would propose that it does not have to do with the accumulation of things, even other than wealth. Being rich towards God is not about piling up good works or enumerating your resume of generous deeds. It's not about counting your prayers like some people do their steps every day to make sure you hit your quota. It's not about climbing the ladder to be recognized as a more spiritual leader. It's not about using the tools and techniques of another system transferred to the spiritual realm. I think it might be about having the faith to recognize the value of enough and trusting in God to sustain you. I think it might be about being less occupied all the time, but truly focusing on finding your vocation, what God is calling you to do with your one precious life in this world that will make you feel purposeful and content and fully alive. I think it might be learning to be comfortable exploring the depth of your relationship with God and coming to trust in the security of that love. I think it might be getting to the place where you don't count or hoard or accumulate or compare yourselves to others, but simply are who you were made to be, and learning to rest in your connection to the God who came to teach you about true love. I'm not sure that's right, but I think it's a value system that's worth trying out. In this country, we have a rising opioid epidemic, rising suicide rates, rising depression and anxiety diagnoses, and rising job turnover. Those trends are not all about this question, what is life really all about? But it is a part of each of those situations. It's time to re-examine our lives and our priorities and our values. It's time to learn to turn our lives toward Jesus, to be rich in the value system of God. Can we believe that having a place around a fuller table of Christ is much better than having the seat at the head of the conference table? Can we find our self-worth in being bearers of the image of God rather than being slaves to the social image of the day? Can we gratefully acknowledge our many blessings freely given rather than stingily holding to possessions and fearfully tracking our bank accounts? Can we finally find our rootedness, our meaning, our worth in becoming the disciples Jesus created us to be, instead of continuing to build greater storehouses for our wealth and edifices to our own greatness? I pray that we can, because I think that this is what it means to be rich towards God. I think it's what people have been looking for since long before this man approached Jesus in the story. And I think it's what we need to fill the hole in our beings that we keep trying to stuff full of all sorts of worthless things amassed over a lifetime. I believe this is the way to make whole the broken parts of our souls that our current system has left empty. May we have the courage to ask Jesus the hard question and find our peace and purpose in his answer for us. Amen.